So the new album will be out next month in Britain, and we'll talk about that later. But going back to the beginning, it's quite a while now since the first album was out, and you were sort of labelled as a thrash band then. And just this morning, I sort of read something in the music press about, you know, metal thrash stars, Metallica. You must be pretty bored with the thrash tag.
It's the other Metallica. We're the non-thrash Metallica.
Yeah,
the other band crying around somewhere saying
that's
right. Thrash. It doesn't really bother me much anymore. A couple of years ago, I was like really worried about being called a thrash band because I thought, you know, we're not. Now I'm pretty much at ease with it. If some journalist wants to call us a thrash band, I think it just makes him look stupid, because I think we know, and I think most of the people out there know that we're not really a thrash band, so it just looks, whoever's labeling us a thrash band looks silly. And I don't know, it just doesn't really bother me that much anymore.
What about the, you once said, going back a while, that if you had to have a label, it would be sort of power metal. Does that still apply, or is that?
Sounds like it was a while ago. I don't know. I mean, just these labels and stuff. I don't really think. A couple of years ago, people were like, "Well, you know, trying to force a label on you." And I think that we just thought power metal for a few minutes was a nice alternative. But now it just doesn't really seem like any of these labels matter much. That's why we have a band name, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. So looking back over the albums and over all the years, how has the band developed? I mean, are you more of a unit now, or are there sort of disadvantages to longevity? Or
well, I mean, the first album, all that material was written, you know, about 2 years prior to it coming out. So the transition from the first to the second album seems like a huge one, because the material was quite a bit older. And you know, actually putting a slower song on the second album kind of freaked people out, and then we just kind of grew as musicians along the way, and I think this last one is pretty much our best one, of course.
Yeah, well, that's what I was supposed to say.
We'll talk about that later.
Who records the best one?
But on to the sort of the subject matter of the songs. Whenever I sort of read, you know, the titles on the album, it's all sort of like a book list from the kind of Sunday Times, it always sounds like, you know. but like, the majority of bands sort of like tend to sing either about sort of Satan and the end of the world, or about sex or whatever. But right. You sort of, you know, tackle some quite heavy issues. Are you very conscious that you know, stay away from the usual cliches?
Well, we've always prided ourselves on kind of being a little different from all the others, and I don't know, Satan's not on our mind too much, you know. And we just kind of go with more of a mental kind of thing, you know, kind of mental anguish or cruelty, or just stuff that makes you think a bit. And I think
it's Satan doesn't. It's more fun to just kind of tackle things that are just not so obvious. You know, I think we became pretty clear early on that it was just a bit more of a challenge, and just trying to like go for something that was just not so like what everybody else is doing, and kind of more fun.
So why do you think other bands don't do it? Do you think they're afraid to, or
I don't think a lot of people use their imaginations as much as they probably could, and just kind of, oh, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, let's go for the easy kill. I don't know, just I think we've just always been kind of just bored with, like I said earlier, the obvious, and it just seems to be a bit more fun, or just trying to like, you put yourself in some situations where you actually like have to like just kind of use your imagination or think a bit more, and it's just kind of makes it a bit more interesting.
So, in terms of what's sort of happening at the moment with other bands, how do you view the sort of the metal scene at the moment? Because last, especially you,
yeah.
you
I don't know, kind of mixed feelings about it. Like bands like Faith No More and the Chili Peppers and stuff like that come along, and you go, oh, you know, it's pretty cool, and nobody can like label these bands, and it kind of gives it, makes it interesting for a while, and then, you know, you end up in MTV land again, and all these bands that, you know, have a tendency to start with W, you know, and then you kind of go, oh no, not more of this stuff, and it just, it's kind of up and down. Right now, there's a couple good things out there, but I think things are pretty much at a standstill right now. It's just a lot of crap, regurgitated.
Which bands do you think are doing good work at the moment? On it.
What, at the moment?
Wrong.
I think the Armored Saint record's cool. The Metal Church record's pretty cool. the Mind Funk record's cool. I like the Skid Row record.
What about your favorite band?
It's not out yet. Chris Isaac?
No, that's him. N.W. something.
N.W.A.? No, this is a rock show, man. I don't know who N.W.A. is on this show.
You released the 79 Revisited compilation. You sort of got that together.
Right.
In sort of hindsight, you think that was it? Why did you do that?
I don't know. I think I just needed to do that just for like my own peace of mind or something. I don't
you
know.
All I wanted it on CD.
Yeah. I can't say that on camera.
I'm sorry.
Well, I had all these singles and I wanted them on CD and this was the easiest way of doing it. No, I don't know. It seemed like a cool thing to do. Nobody had really, you know, a lot of people always, you know, talk to me about this thing and it just seemed like, I guess through my perverse interest in this thing and always talking about it in interviews, kids would always come up and go, you know, what does this stuff sound like? We can never find it anywhere. And I just thought, you know, maybe it'd be cool to kind of put it all under one banner and just kind of throw it out there for the people that were interested in checking it out. And I did, and that was pretty much it. You know, I got it on CD, a few other people were interested. It wasn't like a big kind of, you know, runaway success thing, but it wasn't really meant to be. A few people in the last week have said, you know, were you like disappointed with it or whatever, but it wasn't really meant to kind of be like the huge chart thing. It was just more for a lot of people that were interested in that kind of thing. I think they went and seeked it out, and I think they got something out of it. I think maybe it surprised me a little bit that there weren't more of the younger kids today that are like more interested in what kind of went on, just say 10 years ago or even, you know, 15. It just seems like kind of maybe surprised about how little people today, you know, the younger 14-year-old kids or whatever, care about, you know, what went on, what got the music to the level that it's at right now. It just kind of seems like nobody really cares about what went on in the past.
So in terms of like comparing the 79 bands, do you think bands today perhaps have lost a little bit of individuality?
Well, I think the main thing back then was that you had all these bands that all had their own thing going. You know, you kind of look at the thing now and you got a lot of bands that are just following in everybody else's footsteps. But I think in 79, had all these bands like doing their own thing, their own personalities, their own sound, you know, and just their own songwriting things going on. Things were a bit like just kind of fresher, or more individual back then. Now everybody's just kind of doing what everybody else is doing.
Talking of following in other people's footsteps, you know, obviously set a precedent, you know, back with your first album. Do you think, you know, bands like Slayer and Exodus, etc., do you think they're basically copying what you did?
I don't think they're copying. I mean, when all of it kind of started out, everyone was a little short-sighted and said that everyone pretty much sounded the same. As you get into, you know, second and third albums, you kind of develop your own style a little more, and I mean, it's definitely apparent now, you know, between us and Slayer and Exodus, and certain people are still stuck in the past and certain people are kind of growing.
In terms of, you know, videos, I know you've never been keen on videos, but I understand there is a video to the new single, which we'll talk about in a minute. But why is sort of the video format never? Why have you never considered it to be good for you?
I think it in the early days had a lot to do with just the fact that we weren't really into sort of being told what to do. We weren't into following the kind of set ways of how you're supposed to play this game and the music business and the marketing things, and here's the band and here's the visual and here's the video and here's the radio song and all that kind of stuff. And it just, I don't know, just never felt comfortable. And we're actually very close to doing a video for a track off Ride the Lightning. We were very close to doing one on the Puppets album, and just kind of in the 11th hour we just kind of backed out of it. And then finally on the Justice album we just went for it. And now I kind of like it. We did a, you know, video
kind
for the kind of, yeah, keyword. You know, just not really afraid of it anymore. It just seems like kind of a fun thing to toy with, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we knew how much we could control how much the video looked or where it went, and, you know, have to edit, you know, loads of it out. And so now we're a little more confident of how we can control it.
Because you do have quite a lot of control in the studio, you know, when you're recording your own stuff, so surely it should go for the video as well.
We have pretty much control over everything we do, and it just, I guess looking back on it now, it kind of, I'm happy that we stuck with our, you know, instincts and just didn't do them for a while, but I just, now I know that video is just like another thing along the line that you can have total control over, and you can use as a kind of like creative outlet or whatever, just like making records or doing any other thing that you do when you're in a band, and feel kind of just a lot more comfortable about dealing with it now, you know.
So how did the video for One come about? I mean, you know, I know you said you just felt like doing it, but where did the idea come from? Was that your idea? Or
one day Peter Mensch showed up at a gig and said, check this out, boys. And we did, and they just had this idea about, you know, this movie, and kind of we were just kind of sitting there going, you know, what's wrong with this guy? And after a while, when we started, I guess, taking it seriously, we just realized it was a pretty cool idea, just about, you know, taking bits of this movie, and it just kind of fit in with the overall song and everything.
I mean, it was a pretty basic idea. I mean, yeah, the song's about that book, and they made a movie after that, so yeah, let's take chunks of that. And a little guy with a box on his head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, just seemed pretty cool to do it. And it seemed, it's weird, like when you have a concept, which I also noticed with the Inner Sandman videos, you have a concept and that's really only kind of like half of it. And then there's so many things about videos, I think, that we still don't know, that we're kind of learning. It's about all the things that you do when you like edit it together, and all the different visual things that you can do with blending things and all this kind of crap that we're like complete new at, you know. It's like, it's kind of weird. So, you know, the idea was there, it was pretty cool, and then just the whole way it was put together, that's what kind of made it, you know, work.
All right, so you've got the new album will be released here on, I think it's August the 12th.
Uh-huh.
It's been virtually 3 years, hasn't it, since the last album?
Yeah, pretty much.
September 88, yeah. So I know you've been touring, but why
and
is it
touring.
And touring? So why has it taken so long to get an album together?
It's just, I don't know, it just seems to be kind of the cycle we're in, you know. It takes us about, we tour for about a year and a half. It takes us, you know, we took about 6-8 months off, and then from when we start writing songs to we're done with the record, it's about 10 months to a year. There's 3 years already, so that just seems to be what we're kind of stuck in right now. So, you know, next one will be out in 94.
I'm just taking time with anything, you know, you want it just right. And we kind of got the money now to make sure that it's right. I mean, however long you're in the studio, you know, oh, it's costing this much, oh my God, you know, and then in the long run, it doesn't really matter if you're happy with the work. And I mean, 6 month break, we definitely needed after that long tour. And then writing the material, I mean, we take huge pride in writing that. We can't just churn out, you know, 30 songs and pick out the 12 best or whatever.
How long did it sort of take you to write that? I mean, was it a case of, you know, saying, right, we're going to, you know, put this time aside and we're just going to write it, or did you wait for it, the time to be right?
No, it came together fairly quick, I think.
I think really quick by our standards. I think the whole writing process took about like 8 weeks, 8-10 weeks, and it was pretty much there.
Per song.
it was quick, really. And I don't know, it was just like, it'd been 3 years since we'd written last. Obviously the ideas were stacking up, and it was just kind of, I think after taking the 8 months off and all that, we really, I mean, that was the right thing to do, because when we came back to it, we were like, you know, really gung-ho and going for it, so it was pretty much the right thing to do.
Did you go directly into the studio, or did you sort of deliver the songs for a while before you went
to that? We got a couple months to kind of jam on them, and that was the cool thing. We didn't get to do that on some of the other albums. You know, have a few of them ready, and we'd all jam on them together, and go in the studio and still be writing stuff, or the other guys had never even played it with us. So, you know, when the tour's about to start, it's like, hey, Kirk, here's the riff, you know? Here's how you play it.
Still say that, and the tour's over. You know.
But this one, we kind of, well, we got to jam on them for a couple months and get them really kind of settled in and kind of see where they were going. And all the vocal stuff was almost ready to go, too, all except for lyrics. But all the phrasing, so everyone knew kind of where the song was sitting. And that helps, like, with each person, you know, him doing drum stuff, not going to step on the vocals or, you know, guitar things.
Plus, it was the first time that we ever actually really kind of sat with a producer, you know, somebody else. It was kind of, like, weird at first. Like, we're in this rehearsal room, and it's like, this guy's sitting in the middle of the room taking notes. It was, like, that was a little scary for the first couple of days. But after we got comfortable with that, it was just great. He really didn't change much around in the songwriting, but it was just good to have somebody kind of sitting there throwing ideas at you, and it was kind of like almost like what other bands do. Pretty frightening.
I remember you
Except
saying
we say no.
I remember you saying actually that you just couldn't imagine being in the studio with anybody else except Fleming, so it must be...
Yeah, well, I say a lot of things that I regret like a year later, so I've learned to like kind of, you know, just last couple of years, just, you know, you open up your mind to different things and you just got to go with what feels right and you can't worry about what you've said 4 years ago in an interview and just got to learn like you basically look at things differently, you know, when you get older.
So was Bob your choice or the record company's choice?
That was completely our thing. I mean, it wasn't even like there was like a list of people or anything like that. You know, it was just like, well, this is Bob Rock guy. Maybe we should meet him. So we flew up and met him. It was not really like a huge thing. I mean, it was not like, you know, 10 people on a list or something being forced upon us by our management or record company. They were all very happy that we finally sort of looked outside the band for somebody else to, you know, with Fleming, you know, was never really a producer in the classic sense of that word. He was just more like a real technical,
more super engineer kind of,
yeah,
push the button and wouldn't really kind of, well, I can't hear what you're singing there or this, or, you know, no real kind of coaching. He would just say out of tune or, you know, do it again, you know.
It was not very performance oriented, which I think it just came apparent to us that we really needed somebody to start kind of helping us get some life into our records, you know. And Bob just had made some pretty lively records and we went to him.
And Fleming knew what we wanted sound-wise, and then with the song and performance, he didn't really screw with us. But Bob helped out in that part.
So was Bob like a producer in like the full sense of the word?
Yeah, I don't think we really knew what a producer was supposed to do. And what a producer does is makes you sound more like you, you know.
Helps
and not, you know, not taking Bon Jovi ideas and putting them on this band. It's not his thing, you know. It's him pulling the best stuff out of you.
Yeah, just being objective about things in a different way. You might sit there and go, you know, that's how I want it or whatever, but just because you're like in the middle of tracking it or something like that, you just can't kind of step outside of yourself and kind of look in, and that's where somebody like Bob is really helpful. Because when you convey to him what it is you're after, and then when you feel that, okay, now this guy understands what it is we're after, then you can kind of leave it with him, and then you can just worry a lot more just about the performances and going for it, and then you have him to kind of worry about overseeing and making all kind of major decisions, you know, do you know what I mean, about that kind of stuff. So it's kind of just a little easier for us to deal with, you know.
So in that sort of situation where you could lose perspective quite easily, you have to really trust the guy. You have to trust him to.
But I think that once when we did trust him, I mean, it took a little while, but when you finally say, this guy knows what we want to do with his record, then it was cool. Do you know what I mean? So it took a couple of weeks, but it's fine.
I mean, obviously, sort of as he's known, you know, for doing work with more mainstream bands, there's, I mean, sort of the record you've made is very sort of direct and very energetic, but there is almost a kind of a feel to it of sort of like the older sort of AC/DC type stuff. I can really sort of like feel that in
what
it.
What song?
On all the whole thing. The whole thing. I mean, would you agree that Metallica is just becoming a little bit more mainstream?
Well, the simple, I mean, the simplicity of it is
all
probably
the things,
what you hear,
you know,
the AC/DC.
You know, all the things together, you know, you have
riffs
a different
per song.
You have a different approach to songwriting, you have a different thing that you go for production-wise. You know, a lot of people have been telling me the last couple of weeks that it's an easier record to listen to, and they kind of say that, sort of, you know, suggesting, you know, that it's some kind of contrived thing. But the thing is that when you just have a different approach to the way you write the songs, and you have, like, actually almost, like, enjoy yourself when you're playing, and that comes across, this like kind of different feeling that I think we've ever had on a record before, then I think all those things make it easier to listen to. It's not the fact that we sat down and said, let's make a record that's easier to listen to. It's just like when we're like having fun and all this kind of attitude and thing comes through in the playing, then that makes it easier for you to kind of listen to and kind of be part of what we're trying to do or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there really is a sort of there's a thing of you know, once said, again, sort of quoting you ages ago, that you once said that you wanted to stay one step ahead of other bands. Does that not matter to you anymore? Or do you think you still are staying one step ahead of other bands?
I don't think we really try.
A lot of that stuff is a lot more subconscious. You just kind of, it's like it comes up in interviews afterwards. You sit there, you know, somebody throws a question at you, it's like, oh, why do we do that? And then, well, maybe it's because, you know, we just do things, you know, we've always wanted to do things differently than what a lot of everybody else is doing. And sometimes you just might look at somebody else and just kind of subconsciously say to yourself, well, maybe we should just do things a little bit different than what this band does. And then you just kind of go this way for a little while. And I don't know, just most of that stuff, I always find myself sitting in interviews and talking about it. It just seems like when we do things, it just happens. And then people always want answers afterwards. It's kind of weird trying to analyze something that doesn't really take a lot when you just talk, you know, just get it together, you know. Me and him will sit down and go, let's write some shorter songs. And the conversation takes about 5 seconds. It's like, let's write some shorter songs. Okay, you know, let's do this. Okay. And it's like, you know, 30 seconds later.
But why do you do that?
Yeah.
Why so, do you know, just think of things?
Yeah, especially in England. They want more answers in England than anybody anywhere else. So we're getting out of here today.
Absolutely, absolutely.